Hey, everybody. This is Kevin from the Wait What If podcast. As you can tell, if you listen real closely. Actually, I don't know how this is going to sound coming out over the podcast, but I am outside on the back porch. I really like to do episodes on the back porch in the North Carolina summertime, but I realized this year I didn't do any of that. I don't think I did really any group shows that we usually do back here while we're drinking some fluids, some beverages, and I figured the summer's almost over. I might as well get back here and at least do an intro from the back porch. Anyways, we got a lot of neat things coming up with my show, with Wait What If Podcast, and with my new show. What? I have a new show called, it's going to be called Better Off Med, and what made me think about doing it was I often pull my medical knowledge out during these podcasts. Some people have been like, hey, I heard you say this, is that true? And what I'm going to do is actually do a medical show that's going to be basically debunking medical myths. So I'm going to cover those. They're going to be quick. They're going to be video. So it's not going to be a podcast. It's actually going to be on YouTube. The website will be PA Sully. That's PASULLY, in case you don't know how to spell. Go there, check it out. Next few weeks, I'm going to be working on it and making it look really cool and, I don't know, spending time on that. But no fret, I still have the Wait What If podcast. We have a lot of cool guests coming up. I have a new sponsor. It is wearedapperties.com. They asked if I wanted to advertise their ties. I said, send me a tie and I'll tell you if we'll do that. And they sent me one of their ties and they're really cool. Because like if you're wearing a $5 tie that you got at Macy's or Target, you know, no one's going to look twice at it. No one's even going to pay attention. They'll just see like gray or whatever. But this tie is actually going to catch your eye. It caught my eye because it's got texture to it. So you look at it and you're like, hey, damn, that's a nice tie. Where'd you get that tie? So you'll actually stand out when you wear these. They're $15 a tie, which isn't that much. If you go out and buy a nice tie, I haven't bought one in years, actually, because I wear scrubs or t-shirts or, you know what, I think that's it. I just wear scrubs or t-shirts. But when I do have to wear a tie, when someone gets married or dies, then I throw one on. I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. So I've bought ties before, and they can be expensive. So if you buy ties, go to wearedapperties.com and enter the promo code WHATIF, WHATIF, and you get free shipping on all your orders in the U.S. So that's a pretty good deal. So right there, you're getting a $15 tie for 15 bucks. You don't have to spend that extra $5 to ship it out. What could be better than that? And they shipped it really quickly to me. I mean, it got here, and it's great. So pick up one of their ties, wearedapperties.com, and support the show, because I am doing this for you. So throw a little love back my way. Throw it back my way. That's all. I don't know what to say about tonight. So I was texting this guy, or I wasn't texting. I was arguing with a guy on Twitter. He was telling me that NASA's fake and that we don't have satellites in outer space, and that I don't know if he was a flat earther, but he seems to think that, you know, he just doesn't take any of the science that NASA is based on at face value. He's a 9/11 truther, which again, I don't really like to go down that path, but I invited him on the show. I said, come on and tell me why you think NASA is a hoax, why we didn't go to the moon. And he came on. I'll give him that, but you'll hear. The show starts off cordial and it kind of goes south from there. But whatever, we had fun. Savannah came over and we chatted about it. Yeah, that's all I can say. But thanks for checking out the show, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
You're listening to the Wait What If podcast.
All right, so we have Bo on the line. We already recorded our intro, Bo, so we don't have to really get too much into there. But basically, I already told the backstory, how we were kind of just chatting on Twitter. And what caught my eye was I had sent up something about
I don't know, something NASA related, and you gave me the hashtag fake. I was like, what? What does that mean? And then I was trying to figure out, like, what does he mean? What's fake? And then it dawned on me that you mean everything NASA is fake.
Yeah, I meant the picture that you had posted specifically.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Looked fake.
So let's, before we get all the way into there, I read on your site you're a...
A polemicist?
Polemicist, okay. But that means you like to debate. You like to get into arguments with people based on, you know, whatever. They could be controversial topics or anything like that.
Exactly. And I kind of, from the definition that I read, it specifically means controversial topics. And it does... And it's true. I do like to talk about, you know, certain controversial topics. So, yeah.
But do you know what? We were just, before we got you on the line, we were kind of just chatting. And that's weird for nowadays. You know what I mean? Because most people, yeah. they live in their little Facebook world. And they, you know, they're constantly being patted on the back for all their little comments or whatever. And then they step outside of their comfort zone. And then everyone gets triggered because they don't like to talk to someone who has a different belief than they do.
Yeah, I'm that guy, honestly. I've become that guy. I didn't do it on purpose. I don't think I always was necessarily because of I didn't just go in to learn certain things that would kind of trigger people like that. I used to be believing like everybody else, basically everything what, you know, is normal. But over the last few years, I've definitely made it a point to research some of these things that make people... They don't like to talk about it, and it's a lot of these things are kind of they're very belief structures. They're related to religion in a way, even though they're like maybe, you know, you don't have priests necessarily, but they're very religious like beliefs. These people don't like to deal with, you know, climate change is obviously the biggest one I deal with all the time. So
right,
what do you think? What got you down this path? So I mean, you said you didn't used to be like this, but now you are. So how did you?
I don't want to say that I've changed or anything like that. It's just I've had more time to investigate more things. So I guess, you know, since we're going to be going down the rabbit hole anyways, the where all this might have started would have been like, you know, discovering 9/11. So I'm a 9/11 truther, and that's been something since I was a teenager, I believe anyways, or be young. I think I might have been in university, so I might have been like 20-something years old. And so... finding out that your government or whatever could lie to you and this and that. And so there's all kinds of things that, you know, you got to realize somewhere along the way that the more you learn, the more the story deviates from the one being told in the mainstream.
Are you familiar who Pat Tillman is?
Not off the hand.
So Pat Tillman was a NFL player here in the States. And after 9/11, he and his brother, he quit the NFL and became an Army Ranger. And he went over to Afghanistan. And what was reported was he was in a firefight and was killed by enemy fire. And the truth was it was actually a friendly fire incident. And that was huge because, you know, this guy was a superstar and here he was like tip of the spear Army Ranger. So the Army changed the story and they said, oh no, you know, and they told this tale, you know, that wasn't true. So the family started, you know, inquiring and there's investigations. And when they found out what was going on, it became a real, I don't know, like a polarizing incident in the country because, you know, the government is telling one story and making a poster boy for themselves, yet the family, I mean, this is their son, you know, they want to know the truth. So I mean, just from that point alone, we know the government lies. We know the government has something to sell its people. And that's true. Where my limits go is I don't think it's to the extent of something like 9/11 or even JFK. I think that's kind of... to the extreme at one end.
Well, so what would, Bo, what would you say about 9/11? You say you're a truther. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, it means I've looked at all the evidence and it's insane what had happened on that day. There's three buildings that fell at free fall speed. It's impossible. There's thousands of architects and engineers who have looked at the evidence. Once they actually look at the evidence, most of them out there have not. Once they do, they're almost all convinced because it's just impossible for that to happen. So we know something happened. There's no question about it. Like you can't watch a 47-story building fall free at, you know, in 5 seconds and say that was fires. That's what the government says, that it was office fires that caused like 100-something steel beams to melt at the same time and go down, right? Like, so I don't know how people refute that. I don't want to really debate that. Like, yeah. That one pisses me off. That one gets me emotionally charged. Whereas, like, I love talking about NASA or whatever. Yeah, it's kind of just for more fun.
Right, right. Right.
But 9/11 is serious, and I do think that. I think I would urge anyone. I used to run a documentary Facebook group a long time ago, and I've watched everything. You know, I mean, I don't generally watch TV shows. I watch, you know, the underside of information gathering, like documentaries and all the rest of it. And honestly, one of the documentaries is called 9/11 Demolition Mysteries. And it's one of the best. If you watch that with an open mind and come back to me after and say, yeah, it was just an office fire or whatever, I just don't understand that exactly. I think it's like a cognitive dissonance. They just don't want to think that could possibly happen because they can't understand why is usually the reason. I can't conceptualize why or how someone could be that crazy to do that. So
what do you think?
They just can't even accept that information.
What do you think did happen?
I think explosives exploded the hell out of those buildings, and that's really all we know. Yeah. I mean, there's other things we know, but I mean, like, there's so many different things you could talk about, right?
See, I heard a lot of talk about 9/11 truth and all that, and I was like, you know, what's going on here? So I do something is, you know, especially with politics and everything, I try to read the other side's story. And I've read a lot of 9/11 truth things. And I personally, I'm not convinced. I'm more of the line of, you know, what, yeah, I think is what happened. And
well, if it was explosives, then wouldn't the, I'm just kind of thinking, so the first thing I would want to know is what does a normal, so they've demolished buildings before and they use, yeah, explosives to do that.
Yeah. And it looked exactly the same.
But couldn't,
yeah, there's nothing else that could explain it whatsoever. Like, it'd be like the designer, the manager, project manager of the World Trade Center said himself, they designed the building to be smashed with multiple planes. It would be like he said taking a pencil and poking a screen door and expecting the screen door to go away after from poking it with a pencil. He died like 10 days after saying this, apparently, too. Like, this just doesn't end.
Yeah, we could, you know, this could turn into a podcast episode in and of itself, but I want to move on to.
Yeah, so you can see that's I think clearly where it got onto me. And before that, honestly, in a more lighthearted way, listening to Kurt Cobain and then Tupac and then Biggie, all their deaths are conspiracies in themselves. And as a kid, I'm like, what, what is going on?
Are so. You do you listen to what's his name there? InfoWars.
What's his name? Alex Jones?
Alex Jones, yeah. Are you an Alex Jones fan?
No. I mean, like, I listen to it sometimes because it's entertaining. The guy's hilarious. Mm-hmm. But it's not information that you should be trusting in any sense. There's no way. The guy is we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff, NASA being fake. Like, Alex Jones is a plant. There's no question about it. He's out there. He tells people the truth on some cases. He will tell people of 9/11. He showed Tucker Carlson the video of Building 7 we were just talking about going down. He put Tucker Carlson on the spot. And I don't know if you know who that is. He's from Fox. Yeah, yeah. He's huge, yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah. And so Tucker looked at it and, like, was put on the spot. And he was at InfoWars giving a live interview. And he basically just was like, well, and he just wouldn't answer it to basically protect his career, because when you watch that and see it, there's no way you're going to be able to be like, yeah, well, that makes sense that it was a fire. He didn't say that either, but he ducked the question. But anyways, yeah, Alex Jones will go and then embarrass the hell out of himself and scream and foam out the mouth and say all these ridiculous things, so that anyone who did believe him in the first place, even if there's a lot of people who actually do believe everything he says, and then, like, those people are discredited because of that, because Alex Jones is a nut bar, obviously. Like,
there's so much information out there that, yeah, I agree that you can't find, or you can't base your knowledge of the world on what CNN and Fox News are telling you. You know, you have to go out, and I think today's day and age, where we have things like Reddit, we have these communities where people can gather their information and talk about it and debate about it and question it. I think that gives people a better view of what's going on with the world. I mean, it has to. It has to. And then, you know, like I said at the beginning, the people that kind of isolate themselves, you know, their whole world is based on, they go on a Huffington Post and they go to Facebook and they talk about, you know, they virtue signal. Then they go back to Huffington Post and they virtue. You're not getting out. You're not seeing the other side.
And then they post the Snopes article to rebut you.
Yeah, so. And everything Snopes, and they get their own political leanings. And especially in today's day and age, I mean, I feel bad for people 50 years ago where all they had, well, I guess they had newspapers, but still there was no individual discussion. There was no...
It's true. The information age is exploding, and if they're trying to contain it, and it's actually pretty crazy what's going on. And I find my experience is that YouTube is basically the mecca of what you're talking about, like that debate, because you can put all these crazy ideas, and people do. They purposely put crazy ideas to probably just to, you know, conflate that. But you see a lot of things going on. And, you know, I just wanted to say, like, people always criticize that. We'll say, oh, it's just a YouTube video. And we'll say, there's that old saying where, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words, and then so a video is worth 1,000 pictures, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't care who you are, if you put together a good presentation and present a case on YouTube, you might be a nobody, but that's how things are. I'm an urban planner, okay? So, one of the stars of urban planning, you go to school and learn about all this stuff, was a clerk from just some town or wherever. He had nothing to do with urban planning. He wasn't trained in it at all, but he wrote a book about it, and people still study it to this day, right? So, I mean, YouTube is the fighting platform for ideas that might not make it out otherwise. Like, you know, most people don't have what it takes to write a full book and get it published out to the people mm-hmm. and get on interviews and all that stuff. But a lot of people can make a YouTube video, get it up, say what they want of ideas, and let their ideas go out, and it just explodes, right? Like, it's interesting. And then people a lot of times say, well, that's just a YouTube video. Well, that's true. You gotta look at what it is each time. But I mean, if it's credible information, I mean, you can't decide it's credible based on it's on CNN or on a TV. You got to see what they're saying, and then, you know, make all kinds of decisions for yourself. And people really just don't want to do that. They want to just have it handed to them. So
there's also a process, like the scientific process. And the reason why we stick to something like the scientific process is if you have an idea and a hypothesis and you put it out to the world, you have to see their methods for getting that. So, and that's another thing. I mean, someone could go on YouTube and just spout nonsense for 45 minutes. And if they don't, if there was no process of gathering that information that can be, you know, observed and criticized, then I don't know. Then I think the info really can be refuted at that point.
Well, you're exactly right. If someone puts together a YouTube video, so for example, James Corbett, I don't know if you know who that is. He's a big time climate skeptic, mm-hmm. and he puts together YouTube videos on a podcast. This guy does such detailed work. His YouTube videos are full. Like at the end, he provides all his show notes, and this is like every video is basically like a article for you to go and judge. He gives all his sources, the whole thing. So that's sort of, you have to judge it for yourself. And you're right, if it's just a whole bunch of random stuff, and you know, there's all kinds of factors, but there is really quality stuff on YouTube that you can learn that's just really mind-blowing at this point.
All right, well, let's move on, Bo, because here's the thing, and this is why I want to talk about this. So one of the greatest days of my life, I was former Air Force, so when I was a kid, I wanted to be an astronaut, and I don't want to bore the listeners because I've heard this story a million and a half times, but I couldn't obviously, well, I guess I could have become an astronaut if I really, you know, but I just didn't. The only opportunity for me to get as close to being an astronaut was putting on a flight suit and flying in an Air Force aircraft and doing all the physiology training and all that. I mean, it was great. I loved it. It was one of the coolest experiences of my life, you know, going through all that training. But the desire for that came from when I was a kid and I used to watch the space shuttle launches. So with that said... Oh, and I forgot to add on top of that, the culmination of, I guess, that whole aeronautical career I had with this kind of obsession with space and NASA. And it's not really, I'm not a, what is it, Savannah, is it a cosmologist who deals with all, or astrophysicist? I'm not into that. I mean, it's kind of cool. I'm more into the rockets and the jets and the whole idea of space travel. It's just awesome. So about 5 years ago, I got to... sit in, I got to meet Chuck Yeager, who broke the sound barrier in the X1. And it was like, to me, it was like standing next to Christopher Columbus, because this guy, one of the few reasons like he didn't go to space was because he didn't have a college degree at the time. Other than that, he would have been up there with John Glenn and Neil Armstrong and all them. So with that said, let's start with that, because I think NASA kicked off with Chuck Yeager's breaking of the sound barrier, because it actually proved that they could do, when you blast through a physical barrier like that is, and they really didn't know what was going to happen on the other side, it kind of gave them confidence. And they said, you know what, we can start doing more. We can, build rockets and maybe even someday go to the moon. So do you believe that the X-1 broke the sound barrier?
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, but that's an interesting way to portray NASA as starting by, you know, the real way NASA started was at the end of the World War II. A lot of German scientists, including Dr. von Braun, were taken, former Nazis, and NASA started out of that. Mm-hmm. So they took the V2 rocket and turned it into the Saturn V, right? Mm-hmm. And there's quotes of von Braun himself saying that just to get to the moon would have been ridiculous. Like what they would need, the payload to do it would just be absolutely impossible. So, I mean, there's no doubt that we do, there's aircraft here. I mean, there's no doubt about that whatsoever. Right. There's all kinds of doubts about everything else. And even more than I ever thought. I mean, you can go far down, say literally everything's fake at this point, and it's unbelievable, because when someone points out to you that, you know what, pretty much everything you see from NASA is fake, and then you're like, well, okay, and then you look at everything NASA shows you, and you think, well, that's obviously, they'll even tell you, this is an animation by so-and-so, this is an artist rendering by so-and-so, and then you start noticing that literally everything you've ever looked at in space is pretty much, you know, if you ever watch a space documentary, it's just pure cartoons. I mean, why don't they show you that? That's insane. Like, I'm not saying you should have the answers to this, but like, I have a camera, a nice, cool camera, and I've been able to see some stuff with that. That's really cool. I posted on, you know, my Facebook of me zooming into the moon, and people are blown away. They're like, wow, I've never seen something like that. And it's like, why haven't we seen something like that? Like, have you seen something like that? Have you looked into one of those big observatories and into the sky?
Have I ever done that? No, but I'm sitting actually right next to a telescope as we speak. So I do look up at the sky right now and observe stuff.
And then usually if people have looked in one of those huge telescopes, it's been when they're a child, they've done that. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you just start adding everything up. Like, wow, we really don't know anything that goes on there. Like, what are they giving us? Honestly, like, how do we know any of this stuff?
We don't know what's going on in space, is what you're saying?
There are very good arguments that say NASA just is everything they give us is trash. And then when you so I'm a big moon hoax guy. So for me, it started when you were saying you started with, your situation there. That was interesting. For me, it started in 2004, basically, because I'm interested in the moon, going to the moon. I think that's cool. I didn't always think it was fake, but I always thought it was weird that they never went in my lifetime. I always thought that it was weird. And then in 2004, I remember exactly where I was standing. Like, it was a part of my life, you know, and George W. Bush was on TV giving his State of the Union address. And he said they would send men back to the moon in another manned mission, but that it would be in 2020. And okay. Like, as soon as he said it, I was like, what? That doesn't make any sense. They only took 8 years to do it the very first time. It was like 1961, JFK said they'd send people to the moon, and 1969, they were going, yeah. And 1970, they were going, and 1971, they were going, 1972, they were going. Like, have you ever watched the 1972 lunar liftoff video? Yeah. I mean, if you got a computer up, just it's like 17 seconds long. It's insane. That I always share that with people and be like, just watch this and tell me if you think it's real, because it's clearly not real. I mean, it's lunar liftoff Apollo 17. So it'll come up.
So am I correct in thinking what you're saying is that because now it would take us so long to lift off to the moon that probably way back then they probably didn't do it. They just faked all of it.
Well, that's where all my moon hoax sort of interest came from. That's what really sparked it when I was younger. And then,
if I'm being perfectly, I do want to say, if I'm being perfectly honest, that actually is a pretty rational reason.
People say tinfoil hats and this and that. I make totally rational arguments. It's just that people aren't willing to think that, you know, someone is fake or whatever. I often put it like this, okay? There are people out there that if you had an older brother that told them, listen, Santa Claus is fake, you know, to their younger brother.
Hey, and
younger kid will understand in his soul that his older brother is right. He'll say the older brother will say, you know, there's no chimney. Okay, how does the guy, Santa Claus, come here? How does he go to every house? That doesn't make sense, you know, and the kid starts crying, right? But deep down, the kid doesn't stop believing until the parent tells him that it's not true. And the kid doesn't understand why the parent would lie. Look how much length we go to do this hoax to little kids. It's unbelievable. So there's a lot of people that are like that. They can't, even when they see the information, they can't put it together why the initial source, the authority, like the parent figure, would lie to them. So they can't mentally make that connection. I think that's what and honestly, it's not like a special thing. I think it's my personality type that just makes me want to do that and be that guy that does it or whatever, you know? So it's not like I'm like, oh, you know, it's just who I am to want to challenge myself and my beliefs and others, I guess. So and so I'll go with rationale. I wouldn't say any of this stuff if I didn't actually believe it, honestly.
Right. But I'll go with, you know, the science and the rationale is there, though, that they were able to create the Saturn V rocket and have, I mean, it was witnessed by thousands of people.
Yeah.
And every rocket launch has had people watching it.
Have you seen the movie King Kong?
Yes.
So that was witnessed by thousands of people. Does that mean it was real?
Well, the video was witnessed by thousands of people.
Yeah.
You know, there were people watching the Saturn V take off.
What did you see of Saturn V? You weren't even alive when Saturn V.
No, no, I wasn't. I didn't say I was. I was saying there were people, like when NASA had a big PR thing. So they had to launch these with people watching because the people were paying for it.
One of my good buddies had watched a rocket go up. And I was like, did you see it go up? And he's like, yeah. I was like, where did you see it go? Off to the side, right? He's like, yeah. Like, so that's it. You see it go out of the distance and you never see it again. It goes and lands in the ocean and they continue their huge...
It goes off the side because we don't...
I know what it's supposed to do. It goes around the Earth a few times, but I mean, has anyone actually witnessed that? Of course not. And how on Earth... you're into rockets. You know, they actually showed one on, I don't know if you follow Silence Alert on Facebook or whatever. They got like 9 million followers. Everything they show is just nonsense. It like triggers my, you know, this side of me every time. Just like, wow, they actually showed a picture of a rocket going straight up. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense because in all their rationale, every time they tell you it goes sideways, it's supposed to go around the Earth and then loop off. Because gravity at some point magically can make you go 17,500 miles per hour perfectly. No problem. It doesn't bring you back. It just drives you. It's like if you jumped high enough in the air, magically you could start flying at 17,500 miles per hour.
It's astrophysics.
Yeah,
it's actually science fiction.
Did you know that? Did you know that if you were stationary?
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Look in your browser and type in satellites in space and see what you see.
Yeah, there's thousands of them up there.
Oh yeah, look what you see in your satellite. Show me where you see one without that's not a cartoon. And then tell me. Let's go through this. Okay, so in Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's obviously, you guys know who he is. I'm not sure. I don't have to explain. He is often on Joe Rogan trying to bullshit like the moon landing is real. Joe Rogan used to be the biggest moon hoaxer of all time. He used to give it so passionately. He had so many points. He did it. He was the most famous, I think. I'm sure there's other famous people who mentioned it. And probably, like, this guy would debate people. He would debate astronauts and like other people. Now he flipped. He has Neil deGrasse on his show all the time. And his reason for flipping is just like, well, I'm not smart enough and whatever.
Well, is it flipping or is it listening to the facts and then coming up with, you know,
Absolutely not. The facts, the two times Neil deGrasse Tyson has talked about his rationale, he's the first time he said, oh, here's the reason they went to the moon. And he says, oh, they only had enough fuel to get to the moon and back. That's it. The amount of fuel, that was the evidence. No, there was like literally 90,000 reels of telemetry just missing. All the original tapes missing. All this stuff. And then this is where I was getting to my next point. I made a video on this. I think this is striking evidence. So Neil deGrasse comes on Joe Rogan. He says, he was talking about, he's like, I got a friend that thinks the whole moon landing of Apollo mission was fake. And he says, what do you have? And he's like, well, here's how I tell you it's not. He's like, just a few years ago, or how, 2015, I think, they had a Japanese, or he didn't remember who it was, a Japanese or Chinese observer that they put out space, like a satellite, to take pictures of the moon and show the lunar landings, because he's like, why can't we see the lunar landings, right?
Yeah.
From space, or sorry, from our telescopes. And he's like, oh, we don't have the resolution on them, okay? So he says, we send this orbiter around and take pictures of it. The pictures, I wish I could just send you easily.
Yeah, I've looked at them. I don't think they're bad. They're in HD.
It's like little dots are supposed to be the lunar landing. It's not anything you could actually make as actual evidence of anything.
It was the saline probe, S-E-L-E-N-E.
This picture, I couldn't even believe they would pass it off as like a picture of the lunar landing. Like, what? This is nothing. It's a great black and white picture.
You're talking about the lunar landing site itself?
Yeah, so then this is the thing about that, okay?
But you can see the launch pad, though. You can see the all the equipment out.
You can see a little dot. I mean, it's
yeah, you can.
So anyways, if you believe that's real, that's all by all means. But so he says that's the evidence, and we can't see the lunar landings from Earth with our telescopes, okay? This is the point. They tell us that with the exact same telescope, they can see light that is 13.1 billion miles, or billion light years away, which is a drum roll, 323 quadrillion times farther away than the moon is.
Right, okay? But it's a different thing you're looking at.
That's just ridiculous. It's not, and we're not talking about 20 times farther. Like, listen, just think about it in your head, the actual how much farther that is.
Right.
It is so
staggering. But what you're doing is collecting photons from it. You're collecting photons that have been traveling through space using, a specialized, highly, highly sensitive equipment. Have you ever looked at the dark field? I don't remember what it's called. Dark field photograph from Hubble?
You mean the one of the Big Bang thing?
No, actually, this is one where they said, let's take a look at this little area. Like, if you held a straw up at arm's length and you put it in the sky, that's as small of a round of an area it was. And Hubble aimed their telescope, or NASA aimed the Hubble there, let it sit for, I don't know, a week. And then after the long exposure, developed it. And you could see in that picture alone, I don't remember what the number was, but it was thousands and thousands of galaxies. And the only reason why you could pick that up is that you're picking up tiny, tiny photons of light that are traveling. They do. Light travels for millions of light years. It's just what it does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they're seeing it, right? So yeah. Listen to this. I have a really good camera that has a telescope in it. It's a telescopic camera. It doesn't even go far, okay? It can't even close to compare to these things. And the video zooms you get are awesome to watch, okay? Have you ever in real time saw a video that they released? Like, I have a telescope you say you're sitting next to right now. Do you know you can video that and show people what you see in it, right?
Right, right, yeah.
Right. So why don't they show us that? Why don't they show us real things?
They do. You can go on right now. You can go on right now and watch a live feed from the ISS.
Okay. I mean, yeah, you can do that. You can do that. That's, first of all, that's not from a telescope like I'm talking about. Right, it's totally different. And that's, I watch it all the time. I laugh at it. It's a joke, man.
Well, also think about this. The moon is like 240,000 miles away.
Exactly.
240,000 miles away. And you want to see something the size of a golf cart up there. You know, that's the lunar rover.
And you're telling me, you're going to tell me with the same exact satellites, three of them, the telescopes, mm-hmm. you can see 323
million
quadrillion. Quadrillion. Absolutely. Not million. Not million.
Absolutely,
not trillion,
though.
Not billion, quadrillion, 323 quadrillion farther. That's so ridiculous, man.
I think the point is not the distance.
That'd be like saying, listen, I can't see at the other side of this, I can't see the other side. No, you're standing at a river and you can't see with your telescope, you know, someone standing on the other side because it's too fine a detail, but you can see something that's 323 quadrillion times further. I mean, how fucking stupid do we have to be? This is just bullshit, people.
No, that's science.
That's not science. That's not science. That's people telling you nonsense.
That is complete science.
It sounds like your argument is that because the distance is so far away, we shouldn't be able to see it. But light doesn't stop traveling.
If we could see anything at all, even 2 billion times farther away, we could see something that one times further away.
What you're talking about is be able to look at the moon and pick up something so small in detail that you can actually see it. When you're looking at those planets and those galaxies, you're picking up little points of light, and they can watch how the light changes, and they can watch refractory, and they can figure out if there's a lot of planets there, if there aren't a lot of planets there. I mean, astrophysics. I mean,
You're what you're doing is just pretending these guys haven't figured out because they tell you.
They do. They've been figuring out since Galileo.
No, absolutely don't.
You're saying that the science of astrophysics going all the way back to Galileo is unfounded.
Have you ever looked at stars with that telescope?
Wait, can you at least answer that? Since Galileo, since he pointed his little telescope up in the skies to Neil deGrasse Tyson, everything from that point to now is completely unfounded and fabricated?
No, I don't see where you're saying that. No, I don't know. There's a lot of stretches. Most of everything to do with space is, first of all, is theoretical. It's called theoretical physics for a reason. Black holes are theoretical.
Sure, everything's a theory. Gravity's a theory. We don't even know what gravity is.
Okay, but gravity is a different kind of theory. Like, saying there are black holes is a little bit different. I mean, you're right. It's a scientific theory, but I mean, you have to understand that these are theories based on
a theory. I think we've seen black holes. Just that's not relevant.
That's what I mean. People define it. We haven't seen black holes. We have as much evidence of black holes.
I think just recently they have like a picture of one or something like that, or whatever they have.
Something exploded into a black hole. They were surprised about it, but that's irrelevant. Sorry.
But what they also look at is just using physics in general, and they can watch the way light bends, and they can watch the way gravity moves. They can even look at dark matter and see the way it interacts. And that's how they discover if there's something out there.
So let me just break this down for what you guys are telling me you believe. Mm-hmm. A guy is telling you, because he's a scientist, that he can't see across the river. He can't see because his instrument just can't do it. You're trying to look for something out across the river that will prove something else. But the same guy tells you he can see 323 quadrillion times farther. And you guys believe that. I just want to be clear on that.
I don't think the analogy holds water.
Literally the same thing. There's people that say, Neil deGrasse Tyson, out of his mouth, that says that we can't see with the same telescopes to the moon.
Right, we can see the moon in great detail, but think about if you're taking a picture of the moon with one of these telescopes, you're...
You can see nice pictures of the moon, and to say that they couldn't do it,
the rover site would be the size of, I mean, you're talking like barely a pixel. So how can you, if you don't have the, what's that called when you don't have the detail? Is it the...
resolution?
Yeah, you don't have the resolution to pull in, you know, a small vehicle that's 250,000 miles away, but you have the ability to get resolution and when you're looking at galaxies that are light years away, you're not seeing, you know, the rings on the planets. You're not looking at that stuff. What you're looking at is radiation. What you're looking at is the way that when you're observing stars, how they interact with each other. Heck, there's a planet out there, Planet 9, used to be Planet 10, but they downgraded to Planet 9, that the only reason why they know it's there is because they're watching the gravity or the way our planets are interacting with this thing. They don't know what it is. I mean, they're even watching the Torrid meteor stream.
They might come out next week and say it's not even there because it's a big theory.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But that's the point. So let's just make it simple. Let's do a real simple argument instead of getting, because I'm not an astrophysicist. I'm talking out my ass when I try to explain it.
Me too.
But let's talk about something very simple. Apollo 11, 1969. So explain to me how that was fake.
Great movie, by the way.
No, that was Apollo 13. That was a great movie.
Oh, never mind.
No, the whole thing, all the Apollo missions are probably the greatest movie ever made, and we're still talking about to them today. Okay, so there's no such thing as technology other than moon landing technology that has regressed in the history of anything, okay?
What do you mean regressed? You see it?
Well, so, okay, an iPhone comes out, boom, there's a million, like, cell phones. You watch the progression, okay? You watch Scoop. I mean, anything, you can watch its progression until it becomes cheaper, more accessible, used daily all the time. When things come out at first, they're very coveted and very expensive. This is how capitalism works. And only in the sense of moon landings has it, oh, we did it, no problem, but now we just can't do it anymore. There's nope. Actually,
We can do it. Nope. It just costs so much money, there's no reason to do it.
The first time it cost, it was the very first time, and how expensive that was.
Because we had a lot on the line. We had a lot on the line. Yep. It wasn't just a science mission. It was also proving to the world that we had the ability to do it.
If we paid the exact same amount today, it would only be 1/5 of the military budget. You don't think they'd go up there and build a base if they could?
Obama basically shut down NASA like 8 years ago. So yeah, they can't. They just don't have the funding.
It's not real. That's why they don't do it, dude. There's no one. I don't understand how people rationalize this.
I don't understand how you rationalize this. I don't understand how you can actually say that these things don't exist. What is Elon Musk doing? Is he just blowing his money on nothing?
I think that guy had the ability to go to the moon, but we just can't afford it now. It'd be people would pay out the ass. Every single rich millionaire, billionaire would pay to walk on the moon. Every single one of them. They would commercialize it. Mining companies.
Yeah, and they are doing it. They are commercializing it. And they're saying there's going to be tourists going to the moon in the next 20 years.
Always in the distant future and always canceled, dude. They're not going on the moon.
It's not the distant future. It's not the distant future. It was at one point, but now technology is at the point we're making it a reality. I mean, look at the Dragon rockets. They're sending into outer space and then landing them on platforms. I mean, technology is there for them to do this.
What's
Elon Musk? What is his end game for lying to the world that he's getting into outer space or funding a trip to Mars?
Elon Musk is the Milli Vanilli of science and technology. There's no question about it.
The Milli Vanilli, he's like the leading edge. He's the cutting edge of technology. That guy's got more balls than anyone. He puts his money where his mouth is, and he
his money? He puts the U.S. money's mouth, the U.S. public's dollar money. They got $5 billion in public funding. It's none of his own money. Are you joking around? He's wasting it. Actually. He's not making any. There's always promises from Elon Musk about the shingles that are going to be cheaper than regular shingles, give you power. Where's that? Where's that exactly? Life-changing, right? Where's that? Oh, he's going to send us to Mars in a decade. Sure. And he's going to create time travel next year.
He's definitely had a lot of...
propped up to...
He's had a lot of success. I mean, yeah. He wouldn't be where he was if he didn't.
Listen,
Tesla exists.
People, here's again. Okay, let's break this down to the announcement. Happened in a few years ago, or not
Teal?
Years ago.
Is that guy named Teal?
Him, a few months ago, okay. Elon Musk announces that he's going to bring humans to Mars within the decade. Land humans on Mars. I looked at the planet, said within 8 to 10 years, actually put humans on Mars. Okay,
yeah.
To the moon since December 1972 with that fake lunar landing thing. It was totally obviously.
It wasn't fake. It wasn't fake.
Fake. Do they have green? Sparks in it. They have green, red, and blue sparks in it. We go, woo, liftoff. And then they go, listen, that little lunar thing ends up going with the command module and going 24,000 miles per hour.
So Buzz Aldrin, Michael Collins, and Neil Armstrong were lying that entire time, not to mention the thousands and thousands of people. What about the thousands and thousands of people that were paid, or not paid, they were employed by NASA? You know, all these minds that were together. I mean, if you took four people, well, let's look at Watergate. It was what, maybe a dozen, two dozen people that were trying to sneak around and do some crazy stuff. And within a couple of weeks, that whole deck of cards fell down and everyone paid the price for it. If you're putting millions and millions of dollars together to launch a fake rocket into outer space, someone's going to spill the beans.
Too many people. just a weak argument. It doesn't mean
it's
anything.
Not a weak just argument. How is that a weak argument?
Because honestly, I'm giving you such good rationale. You could show, there's a million videos of them. First of all, you can watch them with wires go on Apollo. You can watch them. There's so many fake things in Apollo missions. It's unfucking believable that people try to.
No, what happens, and I've looked at those sites, is people look at thousands and thousands and thousands of hours, and they find.
Are you kidding me?
They look at these weird. Hold on. They look at little idiosyncrasies, and they say, boom, there it is. It's a wire. Don't you think, again, if they were paying. So you're thinking when you watch people in the ISS, they're floating around with wires. What causes their blood to pool up around their faces like that, or their hair to kind of go willy nilly?
When they're OG plane, you mean? What causes that?
So they are.
We don't have that technology.
Yeah, they do have that technology. So someone is going up and they're filming them in this fake thing on a zero G plane. What about the pilots? How come they're not talking? Someone would talk.
Did you know that? Millions of people are talking. I'm talking to you right now, and it's an impossible.
I know, but what's your authority?
Exactly. Like, oh, it's so hard to get away with this as a joke. But it's so fucking easy. They laugh at people all the time. They make so many blatant mistakes. It's ridiculous. It's all for therapy to see. There's a million.
But what's your authority besides? I mean, you don't have a degree in astrophysics. You don't have a degree in aeronautics.
What's my authority to tell you Santa Claus is fake? Do you need dad to tell you? Is that what you're saying?
Your apples and oranges
here.
Yeah, because there's no proof of Santa Claus. You could get a degree in aeronautics or in space flight. You could work your entire life studying that. You couldn't do that to prove that Santa was alive.
You could also study all kinds of things for like 150 minutes. Seriously, for 2,000 years, they believed that life just randomly popped up out of nowhere. They studied that forever. It was total bullshit.
Yeah, it was the scientific process. And as technology increased, we were able to see, you know,
right. Okay. And so there's no motive for people to steal millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, not with a conspiracy at that level. Absolutely not. So someone's sitting down, they say, hey, I've got this great way where we can steal tons of money from the American public, and it's going to be this entire convoluted. Hold on a second. It's going to be this entire convoluted. Oh, go ahead.
Why on earth when they gave George H. Bush Senior there of NASA, okay? While they were doing it in the background, they showed Tim Peake, astronaut Tim Peake, in front of a blue screen with the sides of the actual physical sides exactly like it was standing right next to him. There were physical pieces that were exactly like the sides of the ISS. There was this thing hanging in front of him like he was faking something in front of him like it would have been CGI on the screen. And that's exactly what they were doing. Why would anything ever remotely happen like that?
But it's anecdotal. It's anecdotal. It's not hard evidence.
Catch them in the crime. It's anecdotal.
Yeah, because what you're saying is you're like, well, I looked at this, and then I looked at that, and they looked eerily similar. And it's like, well, I mean, great, but it doesn't.
Catch Tim is supposed to be on the ISS, and he's actually in a fucking movie, little Hollywood.
Where are the whistleblowers? Where are the astronauts that are saying, oh, how about this? Since the whole point of us going into outer space in the first place was to show dominance in the space environment because we knew that it was going to be important going into the Cold War or battling the Cold War. Hold on a second. And the whole point there was, you know, look at, we did this, the U.S. did this. And then we have China that sent up the Chang 3 or Chang 2 or Chang 3, where they actually photograph the landing site. So where's China gain by showing that, yes, we in fact did that 50 years ago? And Japan, where does Japan with the saline lander, like where do they benefit by proving it?
Go look at the Chinese landing. Watch the video.
I did.
And then go check into a lunatic fucking asylum. Dude, that's fucking fake. It looks actually fake than the Apollo mission. It literally looks fake than the Apollo missions. You could show that to a 7-year-old and be like, do you think that real or not? And they're like, no, this looks like Xbox.
Okay, then if you are trying to fake a lunar mission, and I've seen, I saw the new Jurassic Park, and those dinosaurs looked real as hell. I mean, I was convinced that they were there. You're going to steal basically government money, and you're talking about a very, very oppressive government like China, and you're going to say, we are going to show the world that we went to the moon, but let's pull back on the budget and kind of do some hokey special effects with this. No, it would be as real as it could look.
Totally awesome. all space stations are all space things. That's just a thing they tell the public. This is this whole like.
But oh, why? Russia, why would us. You? I think
why it's still millions of dollars and rule the world. All do you know? Like literally, almost all the people who went on the moon supposedly were all Freemasons. All openly Freemasons. Buzz Aldrin bought a fucking. He has a signed letter.
My father-in-law's a Freemason. It's
33 Freemason. Is that how he rolls?
What's that?
Yeah, 33 degree Freemason.
I think he was a 32 degree because he's also a wow. Yeah, he was a what's the other thing?
Austin, watch him laugh, man. Like, are you
kidding? No, because he's rational.
Okay, have you ever heard of the Van Allen radiation belts?
Of course, I have.
Of course, you have, right? So, you know that they haven't sent up someone more than 400, even close to 400 miles. It's the Apollo missions. Well, it's only that's as high as they went.
Do you know the effect? Do you know the effect at the poles? Do you know that belt gets thinner at one point and then it expands towards the equator?
Okay. What does that have to do with anything?
Because you can skirt the outside of it. I can give you numbers if you want. I mean, you can skirt the outside of it and I think your total dose of radiation headed to the moon was like, I can't remember how they measure, but it was 2. And normally like a chest x-ray would be 1/1000th of that. So it's like getting 10 chest x-rays, or I mean 1,000 chest x-rays going to the moon, which was high, but it wasn't to the point where you would physically start feeling ill or have long-term repercussions. But they followed all the guys, and hell, Neil Armstrong lived till he was in his 90s and Buzz Aldrin's still alive.
Yeah.
Tom Collins died young.
He didn't go anywhere.
He did go somewhere. He went to the moon.
Of course they didn't. They didn't go to the fucking moon, dude. Nobody's been on the moon. Even that backside of the moon, you've seen that, I'm sure, right? The dark side. I mean, if you think that's real, I mean, like, come on. Give your head a shake. Have you ever played video games ever in your life?
Couple. I'm not really a gamer, though. But
I mean, it's just not a very convincing argument to say, I mean, you're just
continuing. No, it is. It is, actually, because if we were talking about scuba diving and I was saying, well, oh, look, like, they don't obviously scuba dive. They said they went scuba diving 70 years ago, have never been since, and all they have is pictures of cartoons about it. I mean, that would be...
They're not cartoons, though. They're actual photographs.
I think the disagreement that we have is that we just think the pictures are viable. Like, I believe the pictures when I see them.
And I believe the data, and I believe the science that led up to it. And I mean, it just makes sense to me.
Which data? You didn't look at any data. There's not a data.
No, I'm saying, okay, so in my training, I had to learn thrust to weight ratio. I had to learn all that stuff. So the idea, and I'm saying, yeah, you're right. I haven't looked at the thrust to weight ratio of the Saturn V, but I'm pretty sure I could find it. What I'm saying is I understand the physics and how this aircraft or this spacecraft got off the ground. And I trust the data, and I trust also what my eyes see, and I also trust the tens of thousands of people who haven't blown any whistles about this large conspiracy.
Yeah, that's my argument, is that I know just in my small...
There's millions and millions of people. There's been people that work for NASA. There's been people murdered by NASA. When the Apollo mission started off, there was literally like 6 astronauts killed or more.
It's a dangerous job. It's a dangerous job.
Dude, honestly, you guys, you push just excuses all the time. Like, I believe what they say.
My job flying aircrafts wasn't as dangerous as being a NASA astronaut. Yet, I personally know 3 guys who have died flying. So
the guy that put a lemon on the Apollo mission and said publicly said that they would never go to the moon a bunch of times, and then he dies in the rocket the next time. That's just coincidence. Right?
Yeah, it's just coincidence. I mean, there's always dissent. There's always people that say you can't do this, and then they listen. When you have dissent and you're saying you can't do something, you discuss it. You sit there and you balance out the or you debate out the science, and then you test hypotheses, and then you continue. And someone just happened to have. It happens all the time. I mean, it's the basis of NASA, is that you come up with an idea and then you test the hypotheses and then you implement it if it works. And God forbid, you know, people could die during the process.
Not the purpose of NASA at all?
Do I know the purpose? For space exploration. Well, mainly the purpose is kind of to show the world that we dominate the space.
Perfectly. And honestly, they tell you anything. They could tell you anything. They could tell you tomorrow, they could be like, scientists say that there is water that's dry on another planet, and you will believe it hands down.
No, but you can read why they think that. You can read, like, they found those other planets where they said they're all in the Goldilocks zone. And the only reason why they knew that they were there is because you can actually sense, or with their equipment, they can see the fluctuations in radiation coming off these planets as they traverse the front of the star that they're looking at. And they can say, oh, in order to have those fluctuations, you would have to have an atmosphere that is so much oxygen and so much nitrogen and so much whatever.
You're saying to me that you will believe NASA if they tell you water is dry. I just want you to go on record and acknowledge that.
Oh, no. I thought you said that if they said there was a planet that was dry or something like that. But no, of course I wouldn't. Do you know why? Because the science is there.
If they come out and say they find a planet and far distant away that has water that is dry, you will believe them.
No, because that doesn't make sense.
They don't. They tell you all kinds of things that don't make sense all the time.
Like what? What is something they told you that doesn't make sense?
823 farther away, but not see the lunar. And you know what? And I don't understand how you rationalize this. They're the ones lying about the lunar things in the first place. So their rationale.
But where's your proof? Where's your proof that 50 years ago they had shitty cameras? They did, but they had hell of a rocket system.
So we have satellite telescopes on Earth.
I use GPS, so I know there's satellites up there. It doesn't work without it.
This doesn't make any sense. GPS is all based on telephone signals.
No, it's not. It's based on triangulation.
It'll go out 100%. Try to use a satellite phone in the middle of nowhere. Good luck.
Try using a satellite where?
A satellite phone in the middle of nowhere and act like you're going to get reception. You won't.
Yeah, because a lot of these satellites, especially with phones, are in geosynchronous orbit. And they're not going to stick one geosynchronous orbit above Montana, some mountain in Montana. They're going to put it where you need it. And most of it that you need is like out in Afghanistan.
are the moon, okay?
What's that?
There's thousands of satellites all over the place. They have all this video. Have you ever seen a video from a satellite zoom into the Earth and then zoom out in real time?
They don't have the technology to zoom in too far. I mean, they can move the cameras around and look at stuff.
They don't have the technology to do that. To do a video. We obviously have video technology. We had it forever. They took pictures, apparently, of Apollo with regular...
But I think one thing that you don't understand is that to get the level of detail from thousands of miles away, you just can't do it. You can't read, or maybe they can. I've heard that they can read license plates. But the reason why they can't do that, so what do? They put drones up there, and drones they're a lot lower, they're quieter, and they can actually... Why do I keep forgetting the name of that? What's that called when you can't see detail?
Resolution,
yeah. They have the resolution. I have a block on that today.
If you look at drones, you know they're real. You've seen them. You've seen them fly around. You know that, right?
What's that? If I see what?
Google satellites in space yet and see what you actually see.
Yeah,
you can have it.
Yeah, I did. I showed Savannah here. If you can go on your phone and find out when a satellite's going to fly by and go outside and look up and see it.
That is
no
ridiculous.
Way. That's a conspiracy. There would have to be so many people in on that.
They're written. Absolutely not.
Except like everyone
Google.
Who worked for...
Like, yeah, if that's provided in part by...
Is that what it was?
Google tells you. You just admitted yourself to use drones, and they tell you. There's pictures of the Google drones. That's what they use. And when you zoom out on Google Earth, it's just CGI anyways. It's not even real pictures. Why not? Because they don't have them. Like,
from what I understood, it's difficult to get the... entire Earth in one shot and to have it have good resolution. You got to take multiple photographs, get it from all different angles, get the sunlight at the certain areas, and then you get a picture. It's almost like taking a HDI image it's not called HDI. It's like it's a form of photography, and you can't just go up there and snap a photo and be like, boom, there it is. There's the Earth.
You absolutely could, and that's the most ridiculous thing you ever said.
So you said you absolutely could, but you can't. I don't understand. I don't.
They say themselves that they have, like, some of the pictures from the moon.
They admit
are obviously. From Earth. They admit that they're CGI and stuff. You're saying?
No. Yeah. They admit that they can't to get the resolution of these Google images. They have to.
I'm not talking about
have to edit
Google,
it.
Just man, all the pictures of Earth are admitted by NASA to be composites, like you were saying.
Yeah. And it makes sense. Why would it have to?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense at all.
It does, because you're not taking a picture of a new car to put on Craigslist. You're taking a picture of the entire Earth.
From seriously halfway to the moon. You don't think you can get it in one shot? Are you joking?
No, you can't get the image that you want to put out there in one shot.
Of course you could. Of course you could. You take one picture and you show people. Why has that never happened? Why not?
I know. Hey, I feel like we're getting nowhere, but it was fun. What's cool about it is, you know, we can chat, we can argue like this and have a good time at it. And nowadays that's a rarity. And, I don't think you're going to convince me, and I'm sure as hell, no, I'm not going to be able to convince you. So, I don't know. It's fun chatting about it though.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand where your rationale is only an excuses of my evidence, right? So you're like, literally I gave you two examples of what Neil deGrasse Tyson, the like most famed astrophysicist, defends on the moon landing, and they're just garbage.
Why are they
garbage? The one is the amount of fuel. It's like saying, listen, I went to the store and back because I only have enough gas to go there.
NASA and those Apollo 11 missions were finely tuned. When I flew across the Atlantic on a propeller aircraft, we would measure our fuel down to the final pound, because it all affects how high you can go, what type of range you can get. And if you put on too much fuel, you're shooting yourself in the ass, because you'll actually run out of fuel. You have to put just the right amount.
You're an investigative person. Okay? You're a detective. Mm-hmm. You're on a case of something, and you see this murderer, and you say, well, he only had enough gas to get there and back. Does that prove the case? Do you think that they would hold up in court as beyond a reasonable doubt that is proof, because they had the amount of gas that went?
No.
Even though there's No, you're saying the opposite.
You're saying they had that amount of gas. Why would they have that amount of gas? I mean, I'm telling you why they would have that amount of gas, because that was a very, very well thought out plan, obviously, because they went and came back.
You admit though, and in a court of law, it means nothing. It doesn't prove the case whatsoever, right? Yes or no?
It would be what they call circumstantial evidence.
See that point? That is circumstantial evidence. It is not actual evidence that if we went to the moon, you wouldn't need to say something so ridiculous as evidence. The second point is that we can't see the lunar things, and that we can see here, see 323 quadrillion five times. Right.
We do have to, both Savannah and I have other jobs besides being a podcast, but we have to wind it up, because we're getting nowhere. I appreciate you coming on. We'll chat again on Twitter, I'm sure. I'm sure. I hold no hard feelings that we have different opinions on things.
No, me neither.
All right.
I just don't get it, honestly. I hope you look into that further, and just don't.
Yeah, but honestly, I can say the same for you. I can say I don't get how you could totally refute all the evidence. I
stuff all the time. How could I not? I see it all the time. Just look at the other side with an open mind and say, well,
I do. In my mind, I'm a scientist. That's my job as a scientist. So I look at the science. I understand how they did it.
Don't. You're making conclusions. You're drawing conclusions based on total ridiculous evidence.
No, it's pretty damn good evidence.
No, it's not. You just admitted in the court of law it would be meaningless.
No, you're not comparing the same thing. Your analogies are too simplified.
No, it's not simplified. It's the real deal. It's the exact same things, literally.
Right.
You can't, and you justify them. So that's, I want you to actually think about that and take off the hat and say, oh, this guy's, I believe what this guy says because he's a scientist. That couldn't be dumber. That's a sheep move. You're actually taking away your critical thought and giving it to that guy, no matter what he says.
Because he's educated into it, or you read into a few scientists. You don't sit there and say, all right, this one scientist has the answer, I'm going to take all his theories. You look at all the different theories and... All right, Bo, we got to get going, man. We're just arguing around circles here.
Oh, I hope.
All right, man. Honestly, I'm serious about this. Thanks for coming on, because without folks to take their time to come on the show, I wouldn't have a show. So I appreciate that. Oh, I think he hung up on me. So, Savannah. Savannah hopped off the mic, by the way. Like she bailed, and I'm gonna have to edit a lot of that down, because most of it was just, I don't know. I mean, he's sitting here yelling at me saying I don't have evidence, and it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
we have the lunar modules. We have the capsules. They actually just pulled a capsule out of what's his name? I'm gonna forget his name there. It wasn't Glenn. It was Grissom. Gus Grissom. He was one of the guys that were killed in the I can't remember what, Apollo. Actually, they were doing a test flight and they all burned in the capsule. But he, they landed. Yeah, horrible. They died. I think it took them like 15 seconds and they just shroom.
They were about to reveal that nobody had ever died. That's right. On.
They were just about, yeah, to give it up. So they said, oh, let's burn those guys alive. But yeah, they retrieved, he landed once and he panicked, or no, they say he didn't. He says he didn't. They said he did. It was this weird thing, but whatever. His capsule, I believe that he didn't panic. I believe that his capsule was faulty, but it sank to the bottom of wherever they were retrieving him, and they just pulled it back up. And they went down there and they lifted this thing. But I guess that's not proof, because what's the only proof you could have to sit in a capsule and fly to space and say, all right, I'm here now. But then he'd land and say, dude, you drugged me and there's no way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm actually totally interested in hearing an argument against,
I haven't heard a single one that's convincing. I haven't heard a single one that's convincing. It's all just like,
well,
look at this picture.
That wasn't convincing at all. Unfortunately.
No, he was yelling. He was screaming and yelling. I feel bad because, did you not find this interesting?
I might not have been as interested. I mean, I wasn't interested at first because I really find it fascinating to talk about 9/11.
Yeah. I didn't want to go there because,
because
people get really heated about that.
That can be very controversial.
Right. But 9/11 happened. All right. We all saw it. It wasn't people demolishing. It just wasn't. That's not how things happened.
Well, that's what I don't understand is that, I mean, we have video of planes going into the towers.
Right, right.
And I heard arguments about how, Osama bin Laden knew a lot about, I don't know, civil engineering. I think he studied.
Yeah, he was an engineer.
And so he knew that if you had this giant plane with this much fuel, you could essentially demolish
the building. Set it on fire and melt it. That's what they did.
Yeah. And I mean, that I buy that, or I did. Mm-hmm. But I'm also willing to admit that I don't actually know. And if there's, it does, yeah, I mean, if there is.
I think people like conspiracies. It makes life more interesting.
That's true. I like conspiracies.
Yeah. Yeah. If they're real, but tell me a conspiracy besides Watergate that turned out to be real.
Let me think about that. A conspiracy beside water. Oh, shoot. Let's talk conspiracies for the next podcast.
Okay. Okay. Do you know who would really be good at that is John Taylor. Yeah, yeah. We'll have him come on. But,
did you hear his episode on Marilyn Monroe?
No, I haven't yet.
That's good.
Didn't she just,
to
is there a conspiracy? Is there a conspiracy?
Well, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't a conspiracy, but okay. he does give a really good argument as to why she probably did not commit suicide.
And this is Twisted Podcast, to listen to his, twistedpodcast.com, or you can check him out on truecrimewriting.com. I think it's True Crime Writing. Sorry, John, if I totally messed that up. But I don't know. I thought he would be a good conversation, but it seemed like he was just angry and spewing out a lot of talking points that there was really no basis. I mean, if he could say, if there was a smoking gun and they're like, well, what about the soundstage that they found? I'd be like, you're right. That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird that they found a soundstage, but there's no soundstage. There's no 10,000 people in on this. It's something even ridiculous to have a conspiracy about because it's space exploration. Like what, why? I mean, if he's talking about because they needed ways to spend money and put it under the guise of another agency, heck, they would have another, investigative agency. It would be like the National Security Agency. Oh, wait, they have that, don't they? But it would be under a different name like that. And then that's where they would siphon the funds. And it's probably how they do siphon funds for black ops and stuff. And maybe they do use a little money that's supposed to go into NASA and, I don't know, fund a drone strike and wherever. But not to that level.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Well, I thought it was a really, sorry, it's actually, not. I thought it was a really good argument that George Bush said that we wouldn't even be able to do it until 2020.
Right. Well, I mean, he's looking at staff, he's looking at, and there's also, it's not like you just hop on and be like, all right, we're going to the moon.
I mean,
you need to build a mission from scratch.
Yeah. But one would think that in today's day and age, mm-hmm. with technological advances we have since the 60s,
I think if it was like there's aliens on the moon and we have to get there, I'm sure it would happen a lot quicker than 10 years. But for just going up there and kicking some rocks around and saying, yay, science, we've already done it. You can't justify going back there unless it's, I don't know, unless you're going to I can't figure out a way to justify it. I mean, it's a big rock up there. What else do you need to know about it?
Yeah. I mean, we'll have to leave someday because we'll have destroyed this one. Yeah. But
there's some people that
that'll be a justification.
There's some people that think the moon is fake.
Yeah.
There's some people that think.
What do they think they're looking at?
I don't know. There's all different things. Like one, they think I don't know if it was the planet that comes around. I'm going to mess it up. It's too late. But anyways, I think aliens brought it there to slow down the Earth so it would work out because it's such a weird moon. It is a weird moon. But those are also, then now you start getting flat Earth. And really, I honestly can't understand how he, if he has any sort of intelligence, how he can just completely refute everything he's ever seen on NASA and say, it's bullshit. I just can't understand. It's almost like atheism. Atheism and people who are really, really religious. I can't think that way which sounds weird, right? You know, you got two scopes. You can have atheism or really religious. Yeah. But I don't understand how people can totally bite off on one answer. You know, there's no God, or there is God and is the Almighty.
Yeah.
I mean, I what about in between?
Yeah.
Can't you be in between and be like, well, I don't know.
Yeah. I used to be pretty staunchly atheist, and now I'm like, why was I like that? Because how did I have any confidence in one way or the other?
All right, we'll wind it up. That was Wait, What If podcast.
Like us on facebook.com/WWIPodcast and at WWIPodcast on Twitter. Drop us a line at waitwhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Internet Radio. Enjoyed your listening experience. Now go forth and expand your reality.